views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds!
Oh, you guys all changed. Hold on, you guys all changed colors.
Colors? What are you talking about?
Your mic, she's on the blue now, and the other one's on the red, and we got a purple one now. There's a dinosaur in there. What are you guys doing?
Hey. What difference does it matter what color we are?
Because I have to control the levels of your sound.
Oh.
Well, what color is that one over there?
Maybe it was
to go down.
Oh, yeah, I know. The switch is gone. I was going to adjust my mic.
Well, he doesn't know. I turn his mic off every so often.
Oh, there you have it. I thought maybe it was some kind of a rainbow coalition thing.
So when I go like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, I do it anyway.
All right. So my name is Mark Kent, and welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio. I am your host once again, and it is Sunday, October 24th, 2021. And I am here in the studio in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And the kid that rocks around the clock is...
He's running late.
He's running late.
He got caught in some flood area or
something. So faster than a speeding internet, more powerful than, I don't know...
Maybe not so much this morning. I don't, you know. So, a great kid.
And last but not least, the guardian of the magic button of... Bumper, time, banded brakes, and weaponry suppressors. That's the keyboard. Producer extraordinaire, Travis.
Oh, the coffee's empty.
Yeah, I know. The coffee's empty. Hey, listen, while I'm thinking about Travis,
yeah.
So I don't forget, could you send me that clip of the music? The start, our intro music.
Yeah,
that's too sweet, and I can't get a copy of it anywhere.
Yeah, I'll get you one.
Yeah, send me the intro, would you please?
It is so nice to have you back, Travis.
Yeah, I needed to get away.
You needed a break.
Yeah, I mean, I already work 50-hour week job, and I come here and play with you guys on the weekends.
Reminds me of those Jamaicans that I... How many jobs got, Mon?
Yeah, we don't work, and we just come here and play.
I got 30 jobs, Mon. No problem.
I wish we didn't work.
Three and a half. And then
you got three jobs?
And a parent.
I lost count.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how many jobs I'm working. I'm not even going to go into the list. All right. We do have some special guests in the studio with us today.
One thing before we get to our guests, I want to give a shout. Well, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Rose. Please get better. We miss you.
Yeah,
my mascot.
You
love you.
Right now, I guess while we're doing shout-outs, before we get to our guests, we want to talk about our podcast just a little bit. We're on Mountaintop Media.
That's Mondays
from 11 to 12. And you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes. I don't know if we're on iTunes, but what else? We're on a bunch of YouTube, Facebook. We're starting to get that out there, and we're going to go full Rogan, so to speak. At some point here, we're kind of polishing it up right now and getting the bugs out. But
at 11 a.m. on Mondays. And the number, if you want to call in and get, you know, call and talk to us or tell us something or two, the number is 255-8063.
Something or two.
Something or two. You never know.
Something or two.
Something or two.
I guess we should say a little bit about the event that we were at last night.
It was an awesome event.
Yeah, hey, you know, the guy who's head and shoulders above everybody else is really head and shoulders above everybody else. When you're 6 foot, 9 or 10 or something, I don't even know what he is.
I don't know. All I know is he's a lot taller than me.
Yeah, because everybody's a lot taller than you.
Hey, it was great. I have to admit, I had a wonderful time. After all these years, I finally won some.
Yeah,
some
so I don't want to hear any more bitching about it, all right? Okay, she's always like, you win everything. And I'm like, hey, you know, you got to pay your dime and take your
chances.
Well,
I paid my dime. It's been 15 years I've been doing them, and I won last night.
She got three guns. We'll never hear it. We're never going to freaking hear the end of this, you know? It's like, yeah, I got a gun today.
Yeah, if it was reversed, it'd be the same.
And your point is?
The point is you wouldn't shut up either.
It's my job not to shut up, okay? That's what I do. I never shut up unless I'm... okay.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, it was a great thing.
So you want to introduce...
a lot of people turned out.
So you want to introduce our guests, or are you going to keep over there hammering and yammering?
No. You brought it up. Yeah. Should I let you introduce so you can get the names wrong?
Well,
with your best friend?
Ooh. Oh, boy. It's getting ugly in here. It's getting ugly in here. Speaking of ugly, no.
Wait, is that
it kind of goes both ways. We had the same.
All right,
dad.
So cut her mic. Cut her mic. We have in the studio a special guest. They're holdovers from Jefferson's State of Mind. Yeah. We've got author Gorman and his wife Katie, and they are kind of like the leaders of the latest movement to start with the nurses and the health professionals.
And the schools.
Well, I guess you're a nurse and you're a teacher.
Great.
Wow. So this is like combining forces and the clans are starting to unite a little bit here, I think. And it's getting exciting for us because we've been in this business for a long time as patriots. And I mean, I met Ron Paul in 1984, just to give you an idea where I've been at. And I've been screaming from the tops of the roof for a long time because you can, it's like trends in, you know, my specialty is economics and taxes and so forth. And you start seeing trends, you know, so when you start seeing a trend of them spending money over years and years and years and years and creating a debt and it never stops spending, you kind of get the idea that at some point that you're going to have a problem, you know? Well, it's just same with this. We've been seeing the overreach. We've been seeing the government encroachment year after year after year on every stage of our country. And, you know, when it's not affecting you, it's not quite as bad, and you kind of ignore, because to look at what's really happening in the eye is kind of scary and it's frightening. So you have to go, well, you know, at some point, am I going to look in the mirror and go, well, are you going to keep doing nothing or not? And I think that a lot of people have been looking in the mirror lately and they're starting to go, you know something, this is wrong. There is a right and wrong in this country and we are supposed to be free. And we were taught from when we were kids that this is a free country and that we have rights and the Constitution matters. And we're starting to see the erosion of that even locally. We were at the Board of Supervisors meeting this last week, and so we've seen what they're doing, even now. And my theory is they're justifying this because they're going to save the county. I mean, how else could in their mind could they think that this was a good thing? Because, you know, when you are mandating vaccines for children that is not FDA approved, has no legal authority. The vaccine itself, I've got the documents if you want to see it, has not been FDA approved. They admit it. Pfizer's letter or letter from FDA to Pfizer. They admit it. It's not approved. Yep. So they've been, you know, whitewashing the positions with disinformation and lies. So that's kind of the environment we find ourselves in. What woke you up?
Well, you know, we saw what happened with the business owners last year. Mm-hmm. And it was only amount of time until they made a mandate for the healthcare workers. And the mandate came out in August, and just about a handful of us got together and said, you know, enough is enough. We've been working with COVID patients this whole time. Many of us have been infected. We have natural immunity at this time. It should be about choice. It shouldn't be mandated. There should be no mandate for a vaccine. There never has been. So a few of us got together. We started a Facebook group. We and got a petition going. We have over 3,100 people on our petition online. We did a dine and sign. We're at Dill's Deli, where we gathered over 750 signatures that evening. Now there's well over about 1,000 now on that signature page. So there's over 4,000 people that we got going, and that, you know, just doesn't make sense when you give choice to everybody for everything, and then the mandate comes down almost a year and a half after everybody's been infected with COVID during the surge. You know, the science just doesn't add up. Of course, we don't want anybody to get COVID, but the treatments are out there. There's right. monoclonal antibodies. They found out just giving steroids keeps you out of the hospital. Why aren't we giving the early interventions to everyone, whether you have the jab or not?
Well, it's kind of like the study that just happened in India, and it's a big study. I got a little clip on it from USA Watchdog. They're lying about everything. At what point in time, when you find out how much they're lying about things, do you not trust them? And that's where I'm at. Is COVID real? Yes. Okay. Is the pandemic or the plandemic or the scamdemic a hoax? That is a hoax in itself by their disinformation and their lies and not, and, oh, it's science, man. No, it's not science. You guys aren't following the science. You don't even look at the science. You look at whatever comes out of, and I got a clip from, showing how many, news media programs and media programs that Pfizer is now the sponsor of.
But they were lying from day one, you know. You know, one minute they would say one thing, and right after that, they were saying other things. And it just kept going and going. No matter what part of the subject right. you were on, they changed it. You know, whatever they wanted the narrative to be for that day.
Fauci never lied, did he?
You know, it's never been a vaccine. You know, we've gone over this and over this and over this. It's not a vaccine.
Well,
and then they change the definition of the vaccine. So again, we go back to everything changing. And I didn't mean to cut you off. So go ahead, Katie.
Oh, I was just saying that I saw that thing about Pfizer and all the commercials they have on our mainstream media.
I just happened to have it pulled up. So let's listen to how many people are being sponsored by Pfizer real quick. And we'll play this clip. It's about a minute, and kind of gives you a little idea of maybe part of the problem.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This Weather Report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning, sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet, sponsored by Pfizer.
So maybe we should say, what don't they sponsor?
Right.
Well, okay.
Yeah, what companies don't they sponsor?
So remember how the left wing was against Big Pharma like a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What changed?
Pfizer.
Money.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Well, money. Absolutely. Yeah. So we go back to the Board of Supervisors meeting. I yelled out, you know, it was kind of fun. I mean, I was actually sitting back there joking about it. Hey, this is great, man. Look at all these guys. They're all getting angry and yelling at these guys. It's about time, you know. These guys deserve it. So I yelled out, it's all about the money. And, of course, Modi comes back with, no, it's not. And then after everybody left at noon, when they were talking about the emergency act, Chimente goes up there and says, hey, how much money is at risk if we get out of this emergency act? $42 million comes back from White Cruz. It's like, oh, so it's really not about the money, right? But
that's what they need to be called on every week. Every time they start saying that stuff, you know, they trap themselves every week, but no one's there to listen to what they have to say.
Right.
So we need to hold them accountable for that.
See, and going back to my theory that they think they're doing this for everybody's good, this is kind of like getting a bigger bucket to bail with on a ship with a hole in the side of it. See, they think that they're going to keep bailing out with this money, you know, the water that's coming in torrents, that's going to overwhelm everybody because they've overspent themselves on their pension plans. They've overspent themselves on the wages, salaries, and so forth to everybody in the county. They've overhired everybody. So they've basically been bribed with the money that's coming out of the Fed and this Emergency Authorization Act to keep shoring up the county. But at what point in time does the whole just keep filling up with water and it buries everybody anyway? Instead of worrying about fixing the ship, they're worried about shoring up the money end of it, because then they can just keep flooding it into these people and people will keep going in their direction. That's my theory.
Right.
I don't think it's just about money. I'm sorry, but I think they're very arrogant at the Board of Supervisors. And I wasn't able to attend on Tuesday, but when you're watching it live on Zoom or whatever you want to call it, they weren't going to change their mind no matter what.
Right.
No matter what was brought up. Yeah.
So now you have different things. You've got, like, I think Chimenti thinks he's a good guy. I think he's trying to do the right thing because they're saving the county. Modi, not so much. I think Modi is pretty clear.
He's a slime. I'm sorry, he's a slime.
Anyway.
Katie, was her first time at the Board of Supervisors meeting, so what did you think as a teacher?
That was your first time?
That was my first time. Wow. Because I'm a teacher and I work, you know, during the day when they have their meetings, and I was looking forward to the meeting that they canceled for those of us who work in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed up, and I was shocked that there's the amount of contempt coming from those three on the side. And just in general, they just look like they're just angry at the people for even putting them through this, or even, mm-hmm. you know, quote unquote, their words, wasting their time. You know, they just seem like they are like, oh, get out of here already. You know, I don't want to hear it. And the first time that Arthur spoke at the Board of Supervisors, somebody sent me the video, and I was at work, and I watched him get up there, and he was hitting the podium, and he was yelling, and he was mad. And if anybody knows my husband, he does not have that temperament at all, even when he is actually angry. It was so much that I cried. And now I know what angered him so much was just the way that they are and their disposition and the fact that they were just so against the people and arguing points for the other side that's not even there. And
that was
the other thing that hit me. You know, they made one comment, oh, there's only 200 people here. Well, other people brought up, you know, you had 46% of your students not attend school on October 18th. Doesn't that show you that we represent a lot more people than are in this room?
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Comente said, oh, well, you know, I'm the voice of all the people, so I have to bring up the points of the other people. And then also say, oh, you don't have enough people in this room to represent all of Reading. I mean, it's just like you said, they have their mind brought up right off of the bat, and it doesn't matter what you say,
right.
What great points you bring up, or how it's affecting you personally. You know, we're willing to lose our jobs over this. Our community is less safe with 80 some odd healthcare workers now being taken off the schedule and having to, you know, get their religious exemptions re-reviewed and all this stuff. It's not okay. And they hear these arguments, and they're just saying, oh, well, other people don't agree with you.
Yeah. Well, now you get – so I've attended almost every single Board of Supervisors meeting that I could get to over I don't even know how many years now, 4 or 5, whatever it is. And now you know why the rest of us that have been going there are angry.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing this for a long time. You know, we filled up the whole room with the State of Jefferson
yes.
people, and all that whole thing was about was getting them to listen to the presentation. That's it. It was about just hear the presentation. And they voted. And we were told by one of the existing supervisors that he was going to bring it up for a resolution to listen to it. And the first thing he did was bring up a resolution to never have it brought up again, and it had to come back with a quorum in order to even look at it, 4-1.
Yeah, I did that.
That, I mean,
two-thirds vote or something.
Well,
on
4-1 on a quorum. A quorum would be 4-1. You
right,
know,
yeah.
In that, not a quorum, but a majority of 4-1.
Yeah.
So it might have been a quorum where it was
whatever,
two.
But
whatever
the point
it was.
Being that
the point
they have
he stabbed us in the back.
Yeah.
He told us one thing right outside the doors. You know, and you're like, oh, good, just bring it up, and, you know, someone seconds the motion and for a vote just to hear the presentation. Stabbed us big time in the back. And that was the first time I went, you know something? These guys are rats.
Yep.
They're rats. They really are. This is about power. This is about money. This is about control. This is not about representing the people, because you saw it the other day. How many people were in there as opposed to the other side? I mean, it's, what? 10-1, 10-1, you know, whatever, 20-1?
Right.
Well, I think there was like three opposition
right.
people in the whole room of, you know, hundreds of people. And we, you know, 200 people might have been in that room at that moment, but we had people cycling through all
yes.
day. It was 8 hours of public comment. So.
And like you say, the good point is how many walked out on the schools. So and you know, what's interesting about the people that they say that they have to represent also, which is, well, I guess you don't represent us at all because you have to represent them instead of us, are Marxists. I mean, you go back, who's supporting them? You know, Nathan Bonehead. I mean, the guy's a total Marxist. Look, I've posted stuff, you know, where he's a member of Antifa. I mean, he was bragging about setting fires along I-5. I mean, this is the guy that, you know, Modi showed how to get a restraining order against Carlos Zapata.
Right.
And the boneheads haven't figured out that Carlos Zapata isn't even a part of the recall.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the other side, so far for our movement, for the school walkout and the healthcare, they've blamed Bethel Church. They've blamed Carlos Zapata. They've blamed Red, White, and Blue. They've blamed the recall. They've blamed the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And they're blaming everybody else except for the boogeyman behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
see,
but are they called themselves? Any of the numbers, you know, they didn't bring up. Yeah, 46%, you know, taking consideration, 46% had walked out.
It's all
when
about.
When did that come up in the meeting?
It's all
you know?
About discrediting the people you don't want to listen to. I mean, I like Carlos Zapata, but he's not a part of the recall. I like Carlos Zapata. He's not State of Jefferson. I like Carlos Zapata. I have a podcast, Sovereign Minds, and a radio program. He doesn't run the show, you know. So, but that's what they've been trying to do. As long as they can say, look, oh, you know, and then I guess when he got off, you know, that's another problem, you know, because they're not guilty. But that's what they're trying to do. It's always associate with you as extremists. You know, you're a minority. What you have to say isn't valid. You're not following the science. These are all straw man arguments. They're all complete BS.
Right.
Oh, they actually printed that Arthur and I claim that we were on ventilators for 5 months with COVID, and they're printing these things. We never said that. We were on oxygen when we had COVID for 5 weeks. We were very
sick.
They say this in a way like, oh, they claim this, and almost calling us liars. But they're the ones lying. We never said that. So they discredit you, and I'm sure they've done that with Carlos. You know, they've drug his name through the mud, and then they think, oh, well, he's a good target to blame everything else on because they did that. They drug him through the mud and made him look bad.
Normally, that would be like a minor infraction. Nobody should have got prosecuted, even tried to get prosecuted. I mean, you know, where I grew up in my hometown of Wairika, guess what? There was a fight down by the bar every freaking night. I mean, nobody got prosecuted. If you got too out of hand, they threw you in jail. You cooled off for so they just wasted millions of dollars on a guy that didn't even throw a punch.
Right. And how many times have they done this in the county until it came to Carlos? You know, I go back to that. How many misdemeanors have you heard of Shasta County prosecuting?
Well, it wasted millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're up on the... Okay, so the first time on the recall, we're up on the steps. I mean, they're up on the steps, and we're listening to them on the steps of the courthouse telling us we're getting illegal money. You know, we've got dark money. I was
dark
like,
money.
I was like, And by the way, Linda's the treasurer of the recall, and I'm the president. And I'm like, what the hell is dark money?
Yeah.
And how do you get it?
What's
going on? How come we don't know about this?
I don't even know. You know. So you don't have to be exposed to too many lies to where you go, you're a freaking liar, dude. Yep. And that was Modi. He was out on the front. And if you listen to his last letter about the recall, everything he says in that letter is exactly what they did to us.
Right.
Oh. So now we're up. Now we're up to the mandates. I can't even.
I guess
see
we go there. Into go a break. We got to go to a break, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation.
And I want to continue the conversation and get back to the science and some of the stuff and some of the cures and the reasons why we don't want to give these shots to our kids.
And so if you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Biden, you're a man-child gone wild, so vile, trying to make us move to the progressive left. You got smirk on your face, you big disgrace, kicking our freedoms all over the place. Singing, let's go, Brandon.
Come on, everybody, let's go.
Let's go, Brandon.
Come on.
Biden, you're a slow man, old man, old man, standing out in front of his others. Pull your strings, you got blood on your hands. Afghanistan, for your BS policies, we will not stand.
Let's go, Brandon.
Come on now.
Sing it out.
Let's go, Brandon.
Want some more? You got some more.
Biden, you're a sick man, can't plan, hot damn, going down a road we can't understand. We won't let this pass, you got no class, why don't you pucker up and kiss my ass?
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Everybody,
let's go, Brandon.
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Brandon.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro. Your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did need some talking to the sun, and And I said I didn't like the way he got things done, sleeping on the job. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I almost screwed that up. 1460 AM. You can't make a ton of, you know, a mistake around here. I'll tell you what, you'll get hamstrung. I do have a comment on the chat room. You know, Tumbleweed needs to go back to school. He doesn't even know what a communist is. You know, you might try Googling the 10 platforms of the Communist Manifesto and then see how they apply to your local board. So with that said, I do want to play a little short clip. This is the setup here is this is Dr. Pierre Corey. And he's a world-renowned critical care and pulmonary expert in treating COVID-19. He says, this is Greg Hunter's website, and I listened to this morning. We're getting about 3 minutes of it. And I think this says a lot about what the problem is, and then we will have a discussion. And we have a new guest in the studio, and I have no idea what his name is, but somebody can help me with that.
Matt Plummer.
Matt Plummer?
Okay. Yes.
Very good.
Great to be here.
All right. Thanks, Matt. And so here we go. We're ready in there. All right, let's do it.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. With us, a doctor that I wanted to get on in a long time. Ever since he testified in front of Ron Johnson's committee in the Senate in early December of 2020, talking about a cure, that's what he called it, for early treatment, ivermectin. Talking about that in no uncertain terms, he is one of the top critical care and pulmonary lung doctors, dual specialty, in the country. He is Dr. Pierre Corey. Dr. Pierre Corey, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Looking forward to talking.
Well, listen, let's start with just, I think you called it a miracle drug that people who invented ivermectin won a Nobel Prize for this. There's been 4 billion doses given out globally, human doses. Ivermectin, is it the miracle drug for early treatment that people like yourself are saying it is? It should people know that?
And it absolutely is. I mean, in multiple examples of real-world evidence, it's showing what I had said was that it had a miraculous effects, and everybody said I called it a miracle drug. I will tell you, there's been papers written on it for years as a wonder drug, because of its safety and its efficacy in multiple diseases, but it holds up in COVID. I mean, you know, my favorite example, Greg, and this is what's so tragic about what's going on in the world, is that the northern state of India, right, Uttar Pradesh, a population of 241 million people, in September, their health officials started doing interviews reporting on the results of their campaign there. They've effectively eradicated the disease from a population of 241 million people with a program that was lauded by many, meaning they used 70,000 healthcare workers, went across the state rapidly testing, visiting 97,000 villages, and anyone positive got a treatment kit, and in that kit it contained ivermectin. All of the healthcare workers traveling throughout the state and in the hospitals were taking ivermectin regularly, and any household of a positive case got ivermectin in prevention. And after months of doing that, since that surge in April and May, they now, in their last 2.5 million tests, had 201 positives, which is a positivity rate of 0.004%, which is effectively zero. You know, in 67 of 75 districts in that state, not one active case. That would be like us reporting 40 states in this country did not have one active case. Could you imagine that? In this country, 40 states not having one active case?
I mean, now, I want to stop it there because it goes on for a while, but I think what he just said is pretty powerful. And to add on to that, I have a friend of mine who's in Montana, and I've been texting him, and he's got COVID, and he's in the hospital. They have outlawed ivermectin for him to get it. He is sneaking it in to use it. I mean, something's wrong. Something is definitely wrong when you've got Pfizer controlling the narrative through all of these different avenues. You've got the government, you know, outlawing or mandating that you can't use it. The cures have all been suppressed. Natural immunity doesn't matter. I mean, this all adds up to me. The Wuhan virus coming out of China, Fauci lying about him funding it, that's coming out. What, you know, the scientists that in China that, you know, helped create this, we know that they funded it to for gain of function. And the Chinese scientists kind of being controlled by the Communist Party. At what point in time, after you hear about Hunter Biden getting paid off by the communists, and you hear about Joe being able to get there's like billions of dollars involved. At what point in time, I'm not even saying there's a conspiracy here as much as I'm saying, at what point in time you go, hey, something's wrong. With that backdrop, what do you guys think?
Yeah, there's a.
I know that was a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with that. Yeah, you know, it's interesting when we were talking about Pfizer, but Merck actually holds a patent for ivermectin, and Merck is coming out with a pill called monopiravir that is going to be the next step in COVID treatment protocol. So why is Merck suppressing ivermectin and they're encouraging their new COVID pill, monopiravir?
Costs more.
Money. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Money.
Well, and also just based upon it, it might just be because it works. I mean, we end up seeing, I mean, this is my question. Why are we turning around and looking at Joe Rogan as though, oh, look at what Joe Rogan did. The dude recovered from COVID in 3 days.
They're still
and started testing clear.
They're still trying to sell that. Don Lemon's doubling down last night.
Well, they all did. And this is the disturbing fact on it. And just this last week, we're seeing that we have pharmacists at Walgreens and Walmart that are saying, we will not fill your doctor's prescription for this thing because it is not approved. And we actually see a lawsuit that's now taking place that's being brought up by a former Marine and actually helped funded on Steve Dace's show, because they're going after Walmart and they actually want to get answers for why they're suppressing this stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen a historic underinvestment both in terms of capital but also in terms of communications around treatment since the beginning of COVID. And I think it's interesting, you know, as the federal government is investing billions of dollars in a treatment program to develop treatments which are exposed to come out at the end of this year, what is the state doing to prepare for that? Are they going to be behind as they were in the vaccine rollout, where we had a slow start and we're behind most of the other states? And so it's really interesting to see that the state is not investing and focusing on treatment and hasn't been for the past few months.
Well, and I believe that the vaccine, if you want to call it that, the experiment here, is not going to be FDA approved. I think they're going to try to keep it under the Emergency Authorization Act for the kids, because then the companies, the big pharma, has no liability as long as it's underneath that act. So I predict, and I could be wrong, you know, I've been wrong before every once in a great blue moon, you know, but I know my sister will argue about that.
No,
but they keep moving the goalposts on everything. And so I think that this is more of a, you know, do what you're told than it is anything else. And I think that as long as we keep complying, this is going to go on and on and on.
I just want to say on the Gateway Pundit, there's an article, concerned mother wants to air TV ad on Pfizer's dangerous vaccine after daughter is severely and permanently damaged, but Comcast refuses ad at last minute.
There you go. I mean, anything that goes against the narrative is squashed, whether it's a cure or whether it's a treatment, whether it's a, you know, it's a FDA approved, whether, you know, whether there's any adverse reactions. I mean, we're seeing tons of adverse reactions. Mm-hmm. And I would be, I'm at the point where, you know, okay, you lied to me about the first three times and now I don't trust you anymore. And so, you know, my kids got pulled out of school immediately. They're not getting masks. They're not getting shots. And they talk about the fact that if you don't, you know, this mandate's going to any. I heard the this morning, I think it was from you guys, that and I'm swimming in information, so sometimes it's a problem, you know. But they're going to force you, if you have any in-person learning, to take this.
Yeah, it's It's in the actual shortened mandate, and it states that you can get exemptions, but even with the exemptions, you will have to do. You can't do in-person learning.
Well, and if you watch the Project Veritas videos the last couple of weeks with them doing sting operations on Pfizer, it was Johnson & Johnson, and they said that they were not showing what was in the vaccines because there's baby parts in there. There's, you know, I don't know the exact terms, but watch the video. They say it. They've got emails that they've from the higher ups in the company. This isn't low level guys saying that these body parts in there. And what would, you know, people with religious convictions should get an exemption for that because they believe that's evil.
Well, and just real quick on that. So it's not that the baby parts are actually in the
But they're using vaccine. It in the testing.
They're using it in the testing.
Right.
And so they're using it to be able to come up with this and be able to see how it reacts. But also, that right there is still 100% grounds for religious exemption.
But we don't really know what's in them.
We don't.
We can assume that they're not in there if we give them the benefit of the doubt. But we really don't know what's in there because they refuse to tell us what's in there.
Well, they don't legally have to right now. And that's the thing is, you only have to end up telling people everything that's in there once you end up getting into that stage of FDA approval. It's why we've seen that the Moderna vaccine ended up changing from 2 items to 7 items over this period of time, and the handouts can change, but a lot of times the handouts aren't actually caught up and updated as it ends up coming out.
So going back to the – I'm telling you, I don't care what they tell my kids or me. I'm giving them the big green finger at this point because I'll move to Outer Mongolia if I have to. They're not going to get the vaccine. They're not, you know, I'm not going to comply, and they're still going to go to school. And I don't care if we have to do like, you know, Anne Frank or something in some hidden room up there where they're going to go to school and be taught the things that I want them to be taught. And I think that's the real answer here.
Well, they don't have any right. I'm sorry. They don't have any right to tell people this. It's not a law. I mean, they have no authority to say, like, come into your home if you're homeschooling and saying, what, we're going to test your children?
Well,
that's my area. That's my castle.
That's
everybody.
That's assuming that you're actually following the law or the Constitution. And I think we're way past that.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think part of the problem is that, you know, the narrative has, and you can see why, but the narrative has focused on, we don't want to share anything that could create any type of vaccine hesitancy.
Right.
And you get that, but at the same time, if you take that to the extreme, which it has been done, and you cover things that are based in reality, then what you do is you lose trust with the public, and that's
right.
What we've seen, and now it's hard to walk back from that when you have your public health leaders, you have your political leaders who have lost public trust.
Right.
How do you regain that? And it's not going to be regained by continuing the narrative. It's going to be actually presenting people with the full data and the full facts and then trusting them to make good decisions, and that's something that we haven't seen from our leaders at this point and something that we need to get back to.
Well, they don't want that. Because the data and the science say that natural immunity is better than their vaccine, and their vaccine efficacy rate has gone from 100%. And last I have a clip of Fauci I played last week on the podcast where he was down. I didn't go through the whole clip. He got down to 20%. I said, that's enough. That's all I need to know because they're lying.
Well, and actually to that note, it's worse. So right here I have data from October 22nd from the CDC. According to them, 40% of all COVID deaths in America last week were vaccinated.
So
let that sink in.
You go back, is the highest vaccinated countries, if you look at the data, have the worst COVID case rate. If you go to India, who used the ivermectin, it's gone. So at what point in time does the science say we're treating this wrong? And we talk about vaccine hesitancy. Well, God, I think if you're not a little hesitant at this point, looking at the data, you know, now there might be applications that, you know, if you're 80 years old and you got other things going on and you're dying and this could ease that, you know, with an injection, okay. But being forced to, and then also, you know, when you look at the data, you know, when they start messing with the numbers to not show the truth on how it's being treated, who's been vaccinated. You know, you have to be 14 days to be fully vaccinated, considered if you go to the hospital. So if I get an injection today and I'm in the hospital tomorrow, they say I didn't get a vaccine.
Well, and the scariest thing to me on this is we have so much of these lies that are taking place. We already see that the efficacy is dropping. We're already seeing booster shots that are being approved. We already see that you're not considered that you're fully vaccinated in Israel until you get the third shot. All of this is implying a leaky vaccine, which if you go back to Merrick's and the information that we have, a leaky vaccine can lead to it makes you dependent upon the vaccine.
Well, that's where I was going next.
But we do
booster.
Have a caller.
Yeah,
let me get this, and then we'll go to the caller. Because here's what I think. You're going to get basically strung out on the vaccine where you have to have the boosters because I've seen data that, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I've seen data that says it destroys your immune system over time because of the way the vaccine works. So what happens is do we all become dependent zombies on Pfizer to get a new vaccine on another variant every time they, something comes out? I think that's what the game is, money.
Alright, with that we have a caller on the line. I believe we've got Troy. Good morning, Troy.
Hey, good morning to all my fellow sophisticants out there. Hey, listen, I know I told you last week about my wife. She's got liver disease. She got the vaccine, or whatever that's called. And she's, like I said, even worse off now. She may never get better, the doctors say. She's been hospitalized twice for an evaluation. Anyway, now my brother-in-law has taken the vaccine. And he was type 2 diabetic, had his blood sugar level controlled for 4 years, down to like 100, 120 right in there. Within days after him taking the vaccine, he took over 400 blood sugar for no other reason than he took the vaccine. So there's even more information you guys can put out there. Also, I've discovered that this is what they call the father of arrogance is the father of cruelty. How do you stop cruelty? You stomp its brains out. All right. Thank you. Take it easy. Bye.
Well, you just got that out there, so we'll let you do that. But it's really true. Thanks, Troy. It's really true that, you know, what we're seeing is not normally how a pandemic or a virus is treated. The way they've treated this with the lockdowns I had it before we even knew it was COVID. You know, I didn't know what it was. We were heading to Idaho. We were going skiing. I'm like, you know, we got sick on the way there. I could feel it in the car on the way there. And it's like, wow, I'm starting to feel like crap. And we get there, and we spent 2 weeks in Idaho inside the room. I went to the local health food store and got some. I got grapeseed extract. I got colloidal silver. I got some zinc, and I got some vitamin D. I had no idea what I was doing. I just went down there and said, "What can you do for a flu?" And all I know is that we came back. By the time we got back, we were over it. And none of the kids got it bad. Aaron never really got it at all. And so I've been not avoiding anybody since then. I've been walking. I've never put a mask on unless I'm forced to go into the place to get my glasses or something to get my glasses. And I've been in crowds. I've been all over the place. And I haven't been sick since. Not one time. So I mean, at what point in time do you go, hey, I'm not doing it, man. It's like Jimmy's saying in the chat room, the dude will not abide. And that's what parents need to understand, I think, at this point, until we get this thing sorted out at some point. I mean, are you going to, if it's as bad as we think it could be, based on reality and science, if you are looking at these tests and these studies that are being done, at what point in time are you risking your child's life to get them a vax? And they're talking about going down to 6 months.
Well, this is what we're seeing right now. I mean, we're seeing this across the board. Since the beginning of this pandemic, there are less than 700 children from the ages of 0 to 17 that died with COVID in their body. And this is what we're seeing right now. Now we're going to go through and vaccinate these children with millions upon millions of dosages, likely for the rest of their lives, based upon what we're seeing. And what I'm talking about, the antibody-dependent enhancement, With that right there, what we're seeing on that, that is actually going to make it to where it's going to start affecting children at younger and younger ages. We're already starting to see the preliminary results of that with people who are 40 years old getting it, going on ventilators, and dying. But that's also because the methods that they're using are not actually helping anybody. Once you put somebody on a ventilator, there's a 90% chance they're not coming back from that.
I think there's a lot of variables there, but I'm not a health expert. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, when you start looking at the data, and the gentleman's correct, you know, there's been a small number of children that have passed away from having COVID. And when you look at the FDA and the CDC, the numbers that are actually presented, you see that most of those kids were unhealthy. So if anything that COVID has taught us is that if you're unhealthy with your body, you're overweight, you have multiple chronic conditions, you're going to succumb to the disease. But most children aren't obese. Most healthy children aren't obese. And most children in America haven't had a vaccine. So it's been a year and a half or more where kids have been exposed to COVID. They have a nice, robust immune response because they've already been infected. So there should be no reason why you should give healthy kids a vaccine, especially if they've already had the natural infection. So what is the solution that we need to come out of this? Because we have to have action plans, right? We have to say, no, we will not submit to the tyranny anymore. We're not going to comply with what you're having to say. And that's why we started the school walkout movement with a few healthcare workers and teachers, and we band together and we said, no, we're not going to do this to our children. You can come after us all you want, but the children are innocent. And how can we effectively make change in our local community?
I have a question. You know, we hear this from the, for lack of a better term, the other side, that, oh, vaccines have been mandated in schools for a long time. I mean, you got to get the chicken pox, you got to get this, you got to get that before you can go to school. Why is this different?
So the thing that's different with chicken pox, because most of us here might have been old enough to get chicken pox, they didn't give us the chicken pox vaccine after we had chicken pox. It just didn't happen. They argue the measles thing, and they said, okay, how many people have gotten the measles? Did they give them a measles vaccine after they had measles? No, they didn't. They checked their titer levels to see where their antibodies were. And that's not what we're doing here. Why aren't we following the science? Why aren't we using what we've already had up until this point to figure out if your immune system is high enough to accept that? And then the FDA even came out and said that they voted 16-2 not for to have people have boosters. So if we're voting 16-2 not to have boosters for people, and then they're saying the immune system is enough, and then they agreed that bureaucracy is the problem because it'd be a really hard issue for people to figure out if you had a serum antibody level that proved that you don't even need a vaccine. So that's the problem. If we can't follow the science that has been up until now, what are we doing right now? And so we have to have action plans to stop that.
Well, and those other vaccines have had years of longitudinal
studies. That's what I was going to say.
And that's what we're missing here. I mean, children's bodies are developing. They're in, you know, transitory phases neurologically and biologically. And so we don't know, even if we know after a year or 6 months that it, you know, things look good, we don't know what that looks like in 5 years or when they hit puberty, for example, or something else. And so, you know, we've seen in the past that vaccines have had fits and starts where they seem to be effective, and then as things play out over multiple years. And so I think, you know, and I think, and I would imagine Arthur and Katie would agree with this, that the goal here is not to say that no child should take a vaccine. It should be to let the parents decide whether they want their children to take a vaccine and make it a personal decision of that. And so we're not against people taking vaccines. We're against the idea of mandating it and requiring it for children.
The other thing I wanted to bring up was those other vaccines are for childhood diseases. And we can see from the data that COVID is not affecting our children. So so we're giving them something or potentially could hurt them because we haven't looked at it long enough. There hasn't been the time needed. And we're doing it so quickly. So that to me seems like we need to put the brakes on. We need to do some more studies. We need to see if this is even needed.
Right. And then what Matt was saying is absolutely true, is that what we're fighting for is the freedom to choose. There's freedom to choose your own medical.
We got
to
go.
Yeah, I'm sorry they're going to cut us off, but you guys can hang on and we'll pick this up on the other side. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my legs. In the moonlight shadow.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Republican leaders are pushing back against the Biden administration's federal COVID-19 vaccine mandates.
GOP officials in states including Florida, Alabama, and Arizona took steps to push back on the looming requirements for businesses with more than 100 employees to require workers to be vaccinated or tested regularly. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who is considered a potential 2024 presidential candidate, on Thursday requested a special session of the state legislature focused on combating the mandates after previously floating plans to sue the administration. The Alabama GOP also asked its state legislature Friday to take action against the vaccine requirements, Bernie Bennett reporting.
A senior U.S. diplomat is urging North Korea to refrain from additional missile tests. This after the North fired off its first underwater-launched ballistic missile in 2 years. Sung Kim, the U.S. envoy on North Korea, spoke after meeting with South Korean officials to discuss the North's repeated tests while nuclear negotiations between Washington and Pyongyang remain stalled. Some counties in Maryland want to secede from the state.
Top West Virginia officials say they would welcome three Maryland counties that inquired about becoming part of the Mountain State, even though it's not likely to happen. Governor Jim Justice, Senate President Craig Blair, and House Speaker Roger Hanshaw offered their support of the move on Friday during a news conference. News outlets report that Maryland officials representing the counties wrote letters dated October 14th to Blair and Hanshaw expressing interest in joining West Virginia. Keith Peters reporting.
Pro-military protesters briefly blocked major roads and bridges in Sudan's capital today amidst growing tensions between the generals and the pro-democracy movement that fueled the uprising against autocratic former President Omar al-Bashir. A U.S. envoy recently met with the two sides. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt, and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
California's plan to block oil and gas wells within 3,200 feet of schools and homes is far from finalized.
Environmental groups plan to push the state to do more to close existing wells within that zone over a two-month period. The oil industry says it does not support the rule because it creates a one-size-fits-all approach for the entire state. That proposal will now go through more than a year of bureaucratic wrangling before it takes effect. It would be the largest buffer zone between drilling and community sites in the nation if adopted. Jason Walker reporting.
A fire is burning in several containers aboard a cargo ship off Canada's Pacific Coast province of British Columbia. The Canadian Coast Guard says it got word that 10 damaged containers aboard the MV Zim Kingston are ablaze. The ship is fine, though, and no one's been hurt. News and analysis at townhall.com. In college football Saturday, Mississippi gave itself a chance to climb into this week's AP Top 10.
Matt Corral threw for a touchdown and ran for another, while 12th-ranked Mississippi scored 31 straight points in a 31-17 victory against LSU. Corral finished 18 of 23 passing for 185 yards. He also rushed for 24 yards, including three third-down conversion runs. The Rebels had 470 yards of total offense against the Tigers, LSU's first game since it was learned that head coach Ed Orgeron would leave at the end of the season. Snoop Connor ran for 117 yards on 14 carries, and Dontario Drummond had a game-high 8 catches for 93 yards. I'm Dave Ferry.
Today is Sunday, October the 24th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including actor F. Murray Abraham, who is 82 years old. Congressman and former NAACP President Kwesi Mfume is 73 today, actor B.D. Wong, 61. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Travis, you're having way too good of time in there.
He's dancing in there.
Yeah, he's having a good time. It's great to have you
remember,
back.
Remember the Gong Show?
Yeah.
Was it dancing, what's his name?
Gene,
the dancing machine.
I can't believe I remember that.
I couldn't.
It must be my natural immunity.
Yeah, we need to play that. It'll be like, ba-da-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Anyhow.
All right.
And forgive me, last time we were starting up, I didn't have a chance to introduce our new guest here. He is actually somebody that is putting together a list to be able of signatures to be able to give school choice. And at this particular time, we need this now more than ever. Because right now we see that these students are being pulled out of these schools. You don't have any ability to take that money from that school and put it into your child's education. So right here we have Mr. Plummer, who I'd like to introduce you and tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Thanks, David. Yeah, absolutely. Great to be here. And I am the Shasta County Chair for the Educational Freedom Act of 2022. And what that basically does is allows public dollars to follow students to the school of their choice, whether that be a private school, parochial school, or if they are part of an independent study program with an existing school, they can use those funds for approved educational expenses.
How do you go about getting that? Because I'm exactly in line for that right now. I mean, we just pulled them and we got them in alternative education stuff. You know, we set up the application to be I got a 501c3 that's set up for education, and so that's going to be the mothership, I guess, for lack of better verbiage. So how do you apply for this stuff? How do you get the money?
So this is something that's being proposed to be on the ballot for November 2022. So where we are in the process, the Secretary of State just approved it, gave it a title and summary, which means we're now in the signature gathering process. So we need 1 million signatures over the next 6 months in order for that to show up on the ballot as a yes or no question next November. If that passes then, meaning that we get over 50% of California voters to say, yes, we want to do that, then, you know, as an educational institution or a, you know, homeschool accredited program, you can opt into the program. And then parents can say, okay, I want to, if I choose not to send my child to public school, then I can request an educational savings account. And they'll create an account, and then they take what's known as the Proposition 98 dollars, which is 38% of the total state budget, and they're going to apportion that into those educational savings accounts.
That's coming from our property taxes, I'm assuming, right?
Correct, yeah, property taxes and other sources of taxes, yeah. And so that right now amounts to $14,000 per child per year.
You know, you just said something that kind of clicked. I don't want to change the subject, but you said half of the voters, you get a million signatures. How many voters are there in the state of California?
There's about 21 registered voters, but if you look at, for
21
example,
million?
21 million, yeah, okay. Sorry. If you look at kind of the 2018 and 2000 election, we had about 13 million who were voting.
Okay.
So you get about two-thirds of those to vote.
Okay. I was just curious because it didn't make sense what you were saying as far as, it's like, wow, if that's like 50%, how the heck did Gavin Newsom get back in office based on those numbers?
For
just a question.
Yeah, for a ballot initiative, you need 8% of the vote in the last election. All so right. That's how they get to a million. For recalls, I believe it's like 12%,
they
which,
got
is,
like,
which is
yeah,
why you
like
need
almost
more
2 million, 2 million people it was pretty close to, if I remember right.
Yeah, 1.7 that were verified, but over 2 million that had come in originally.
Oh, I wonder how he got reelected. Going back to
remember the machines.
Yeah, Dominion. I don't want to cloud the water here, even though that's what we do.
To that note, real quick, to just keep focus on this. So $14,000 is what this accounts to. And what we're seeing right now is you're paying that. You as a parent are paying that. Even if you don't have children, you're paying that. And so the fact of the matter is we need to be able to give our children the best education and provide them the best experience. For most of these kids, I mean, you imagine a 10-year-old right now. Right about one-fifth of that kid's life right now has been under COVID mandates, masks, not being able to play with his friends, stuff like that. And it's for a virus that, by and large, doesn't affect children. And yet we're destroying their opportunities to grow and develop. And we need to be able to have this money follow the kids to provide them the education they deserve and need.
Just for myself, as an example, you know, I'm raising and my wife are raising three of our grandkids because the parents are not around at all. They're gone. And so I have a 16-year-old, a 11, going to be 12 the next month, and an 8-year-old. We pulled them completely out of school to start with because I didn't know what was going on. We weren't going to do the mask. You know, at first, if you weren't a little cautious, you're a moron, you know, because who knows what's going on here, you know. So you got to kind of survey the lay of the land. So we went on distance learning for a year. And it worked to a degree for the older one who's very computer literate, who's very smart and, you know, understands how to take tests and all of that kind of thing online. Although they did screw it all up because he would, do his tests and then they would come back and say the test never got logged in. So then, you know, there was all this, you know, he's working and working and working and not getting rewarded for his work because they lose the test on the, so it was really not working very well. And then on the two smaller ones, you know, my wife was kind of managing that, you know, while I was at work most of the time. And so that pretty much was a hair pulling experience, for most of the year. And then now we get all the way into the next year. And we put them in alternative schools now but it's expensive. You know, I mean, Roots Farm Education out there, not really expensive, but, you know, it's an additional cost. And those guys are great. I got to say nothing but good about Roots Farm. They're the best guys in the world. And I don't know if they have any more slots out there to help people. And then Country Strong with Lanny Bangay and his wife, Katrina. Is where the older one's going. So now they're back into a population of kids, which was my biggest concern because being isolated for a year or so when you're 8 years old or, you know, it's kind of, now they probably weathered the storm better than a lot of kids, because we had internet, we had computers, you know, all of that stuff. But, I could see where it is very traumatic. And if we could divert those dollars back into the places we want to educate our kids at that are going to, you know, listen to the parents, because obviously the schools are not listening to the parents at this point, or they're not, you know, why, otherwise you wouldn't have a walkout, you know, to say, hey, we're not going to do this.
But here we go again. What are we talking about? Money. Once again, it comes down to the money piece. For our children or whatever the circumstance is.
Well, we're going to do it whether it's the money or not, but at the same time.
Well, no, what I'm saying for them, it's become the money piece. And if we can kind of hurt them, so to speak, in my opinion, take the dollar, you know, the dollars go with the child instead of to the county or wherever, and if actually follows the child, you know, that may make a big difference in how they handle things.
Some people don't have the option that I have or we have to do alternative stuff because they're single parents or they're working. They have a lot of people out there can't afford can't pull their kids out of school and get them educated. They're at work. You know, who's going to watch them? Who's going to do all this stuff?
I think Katie wanted to chime in here.
Well, am I correct when I say that $14,000 is really just like an average?
It's taking the total proposition $98 and then dividing it by the number of school age kids that are in the system.
Yeah, so
that will increase.
Yeah,
you know,
so if you're like a Title I student, maybe you've been in the system, maybe you've been in foster care or things like that, that number can go exponentially up. So where I work, you know, I hear that number and I just can't even believe it because I've had up to 35 students on my roster this school year alone. I'm a TK and kindergarten teacher, and think about that amount of money that classroom, you know, represents when you talk about that. And I have to go to a locked cupboard to get pencils. So
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, that's a thing. I have to go up to the office, ask the office manager for pencils.
Why?
Well, you know,
they're just not there, or they get.
No, it's I guess, you know, so that people
safety?
Don't use too many pencils.
Oh, okay.
You know,
correct me if I'm wrong.
It's a money
too,
thing.
Because I know a lot of teachers, and a lot of these teachers, they're good folks, and they actually are ending up going out of their own pocket to be able to provide supplies for a lot of these students
in these
classrooms.
And that's what that was the next thing that I wanted to say is that every single year that I have been working. We've been given in the beginning of the school year a $200 budget to use on supplies and things like that. Now,
as a kindergarten teacher, we buy
buttons and all kinds of different jewels and different things for all of our projects. So that's nothing. But it's been taken away from us every single year.
I was going to say you can write off $250 of that.
Yeah. So so anyway, every single year by the time the school year gets up and running, they've frozen those funds and then we were not able to use them. So just looking at, you know, the amount of money, it's not being used correctly. And then also all the control from parents being taken away. This initiative that he's talking about, getting this on the ballot, this is everything. This is a huge, huge thing. And also where I work at a Title I school, socioeconomic disadvantaged children, you know, don't have the ability to, you know, not get the vaccine and not go to school. Their parents, you know, they work really hard and they need their kids in school. So if this did go through, I would be able to start a school there in Shasta Lake and be able to serve that community, you know, in such a way that they would have the best education.
I think that the teachers might have to form these schools anyway and figure out how to make it happen because, you know, whether the funds come out, it's a long ways off. And then, you know, the fact that it might come to the fact that you pull the plug on the regular schools, the parents just say, we're not going to do it. And then the teachers walk out. You know, is going to drain these schools of their funds, and they're going to go under probably. So there might be have to be an alternative plan to begin with on this thing, is what I'm hearing. And the
good thing about this initiative is that it actually can help the public schools. Like, it's not against public schools; it's actually intended to strengthen them in part because it creates competition. Because right now they operate as basically the monopoly in education.
Well, the teachers' union is out of control as far as politically.
Well, and that was the point that I was just going to get to. What we see right now is who's actually representing our children? Who's actually representing us? We have nobody. What you see is you have these places like the teachers' union, and they will go and they will have lots of money because most of these teachers that are out there, they're contributing to these unions, which are actually undoing the very conservative natures of what parents are actually after. And these school boards are even worse because they don't listen at all.
I think what you've got to go back to is I think a long-term fix is going to be getting rid of all public unions, you know, whether it's SEIU, because what happens is with the collective bargaining piece of that, the parents are cut out of the equation. So you've got collective bargaining between the union and the government, and the parents have no input at all. And so they're part of this ongoing problem. But getting back to the kids, one of the stories that I heard.
Well, we do have a couple callers on the line, too. We've got two callers. I don't know if we want to go ahead and go to them.
Well, let me say this, and then we'll go to the callers. The reason I want to bring this up is because one of the stories I heard from the teacher's standpoint was the fact that all these kids were being masked. She would come home crying, basically, because of the fact that they had to wear their mask no matter what the science said. You know, in this teaching environment, what are you teaching these kids as far as compliance and interacting and facial expressions and all of that? So do you think that the mask should have been used from the beginning?
Well, I can tell you that the first week that the masks mandate and we were back in school, way back in the day, we had a kid come back from the bathroom. My next door neighbor teacher, my really good friend, said that her student walked in and had his mask in his hand. And she said, "What are you doing?" And she put her hand out to help him put it back on. And she said, "Oh, well, why is it wet?" And he said, "Oh, well," he had one of those ones with the long string on the end. He said, "Oh, I was making it a boat on the top of the toilet."
Oh,
and
no.
She looks down and she's got it in her hand going, "Oh." So I could tell you a few stories about that. I also started taking pictures of the masks just to let people know how gross they get.
And worthless.
Arthur's going to have to help me with the name of it. But there's a lot of kids getting this rash, really terrible rash all around. It's what? It's Fitz disease, yeah. So impetigo?
Impetigo, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So it goes up their nose and the corners of their mouth. And so I've seen it a lot, and I guess it's pretty contagious, but it really, with the moisture between their, because they chew on them, they put the mask in their mouth and they chew on it, so it gets all wet.
I guess we have to go back to the Hippocratic Oath, you know, what, do no harm thing. Let's go to our call.
All right. I believe that first we got Mark on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
What do you got?
Well, the only thing I always have an issue when we start talking about school choice and letting the money follow the kids is that the government money will corrupt the school wherever it goes, because there will always be strings attached to that money. And so in theory, it sounds great, but we all know that in practice, when they actually go to do it, you'll have a bunch of hoops that you'll have to go through to actually get the money, and then they will slowly increase the conditions for you to keep the money, and before you know it, you're forced to be doing the same stuff they're doing in the public schools.
I think Matt has an answer to that.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and one that the folks who wrote this act were very conscious of, and so they've actually written into the act, which would basically go in as a constitutional amendment, that no additional restrictions can be imposed on private schools as a result of accepting these funds, including curriculum mandates like the ones that are coming out and have been approved in this last legislative cycle, and public health or other types of vaccine mandates. And so that has been specifically accounted for in the legislation, in the Educational Freedom Act. So it would prevent that from being possible going forward. So they can't increase the contingencies.
Hmm. So increase the contingencies from what the school or is currently using?
From what private schools are currently under the, yeah, the, so private, there's a set of three things that private schools have to follow in order to accept these funds, which is basically they need to be subject to occasional audit, essentially, to ensure that the kids who they said are going to those schools are actually going, that the funds that are being used to pay for tuition are actually being used for tuition. And then finally, that they are accredited they have an affidavit as a private school. So those are the three conditions that need to be met in order for these private schools to
be accredited.
as a private school, as private schools are today. So private schools are allowed to choose their own curriculum, and, you know, faith-based curriculums and those types of things cannot be infringed upon by the state.
Most private schools are not accredited. Like, currently here in Chester County, Liberty is not an accredited school.
It's, yeah, so they would have an affidavit to, accredited might be the wrong word, affidavit to exist as a private school.
Well, every homeschooler fills out a private school affidavit in the state of California.
I think that's kind
right.
of the point.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
And so, I mean, are you saying these funds would be available for homeschoolers too?
So here's how it worked for homeschoolers. So if homeschoolers are participating in an independent study program that's connected to, say, for example, a charter school or private school, then those funds could be used for educationally approved expenses, and it would flow, you know, it would be given to the school to then reimburse the parent. If they are just operating at a private school affidavit and kind of homeschooling on their own or in some kind of collaborative that's, you know, not connected to a school, then they cannot use the funds to pay for expenses there. But what they can do is basically accrue that money in an educational savings account and then use it for college or vocational school. Or if they decide to go to a private high school, for example, after doing K-8 homeschool, then they can use it then. So they basically adds up, and you're talking about close to $200,000 over those 12 years that then would be able to be used for post-secondary institutions.
Okay, so how is it written that they're separating out a private school, say, you know, versus a homeschool? Because as far as the state of California is concerned, they're one and the same.
What the folks who wrote this were trying to ensure is that there wouldn't be funds being managed by the parents, because that would make it subject to, you know, abuse. And so what they did is the funds will flow through, you know, the parent requests it, and then it's stored by a third party, and then that can flow to the school to pay for tuition or for expenses. And so if there isn't that institution that exists to have the funds flow into, then it has to be saved for until they decide to opt into, you know, for example, a college or that type of thing.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like it's going to be a way for the state to force your Christian public, your private schools to get accredited and to hire accredited teachers and to become licensed, which is then going to force them to. I'm just really suspicious of this, because anytime there's government money, they're gonna force you to jump through some hoops to get it.
So I could answer that question for you. So many of the private schools are actually accredited. They're just not. So like Liberty Christian, right now they're not accredited because they moved campuses and then they changed their like 501c3. So they're not operating under Grace Baptist anymore. So now they have to go through the accreditation body to be reaccredited. So Reading Christian is an accredited school. Same thing at Country Christian. These places already have an accreditation. And you can look up on their website. You can even call them if you want. But they're already accredited. So what he's saying is, like, if your kid went to Reading Christian, there would just be a third-party company. And Reading Christian already meets the standard for accepting the money based off of those three criteria, and they wouldn't be subjected to follow any more rules. And then once Liberty Christian finally got through their accreditation process, which they're in the process of right now, then they would be able to accept money from schools. And so, like, say, Adventure Academy or Country Strong or Roots,
right,
the homeschool options, if they then became accredited, then they could accept the money. So the difference is you don't have to go through a state agency to be an accredited school. You just have to get an accreditation body to give you a certification that says you're accredited, and then go on from there.
I don't think there's. I don't think there's.
Third party is going to hold the money.
Well, I don't think there's a perfect solution, Mark. But I think anything going in a different direction that we've been going in is going to be better. So I haven't read any of the legislation, so I don't know all of the loopholes. But we do have to move on, and we got another caller here before the bottom of the hour, if you don't mind.
All right, thank you.
All right,
thanks for calling in, and we'll go to Terry. Good morning, Terry. Oh no, I guess if you want to call back, Terry. We'll catch you after the break. Sorry, there's
sorry,
a lot
Mark,
going
on. Sorry, Mark. I thought
up.
There was another.
Well, there was, but
there.
He'll have to, he may be calling in now, but
we got 2 minutes to the bottom of the hour, yeah. So we're going to take that break.
Well, we have this before we take that break, just in what we were talking about earlier as well. So we have the director of the CDC that said on October 22nd, the U.S. could change the definition of what it means to be fully vaccinated in the future with the increasing availability of COVID-19 boosters, the directors for Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Friday. We have not yet changed the definition of fully vaccinated, but we will continue to look at this. We may need to update our definition of fully vaccinated in the future, CDC Director Ross Rinsky told reporters. If you're eligible for a booster, go ahead and get your booster, and we'll continue to follow, she said.
Here's the deal. Here's the real deal. Non-compliance is going to solve this problem. It really is. They can make all the mandates they want. They can pass all the laws that they want. They can say, we're going to take all your guns. But if nobody does it, they are nothing but a figurehead, straw government that's not following the will of the people. And there's no way that they're going to make you. I mean, there's no way that they're going to come out and start collecting guns, for example, because they would run into such resistance, they would start a war overnight. So the real deal is peaceful non-compliance is the answer. It really is.
To that end, so Travis is on the line for a second, so I'll just say this before we go to break.
Terry's on.
So this is the thing right now. I went to that Board of Supervisors meeting this last Tuesday, and I was absolutely appalled, stunned, and sickened by what I saw. I saw 7 hours of people showing up talking about how their jobs were in danger, how their children were in danger, and how everything that was going on, everything that we're talking about right now, giving them all of that. At that point, they decided not to do anything just based upon money, and two of them couldn't even look you in the eye.
That's why
they got the ear that they
I understand, but it doesn't really matter. Let's go to Terry.
All right. Well, we have to go to a break, and then we'll go to Terry. Terry, please, hold on. Sorry, we'll get to you right after the break. I promise that you've been listening to KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Get in the game. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside season. Score with our new Game Grub Buffet. Free spins, kickoff for cash and prizes. Nowhere else in town offers this. More football fun. Play hard, win easy. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. Some people talk football, we live it. At Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at windriver.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? Here comes that rainy day feeling again, and soon my tears, they will be falling like rain.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. And we have a caller on
and
the
we
line.
We have Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Wow. Yeah, that's, well, I'm trying to get some clarity on what your guest was talking about. When Liberty Christian got their accreditation, I was there. I was the Booster Club president when they got their accreditation. Now, we're talking about Liberty Christian now, I believe, is only first grade through eighth grade.
Correct. Yeah, so
okay,
when they move.
Number one. Number two, what you're talking about here is, but I'm just trying to get clarity, that you want to have an initiative put out to whether or not we can vote on an amendment for the state of California, correct?
Yeah, it would be a ballot proposition.
Okay, well, the way that works, if you look up the California Constitution, Title 18, Section 3, the people of California can amend the Constitution of California by initiative. So I don't know whether it takes a two-step process or not according to that. That is how Tim Draper attempted his three-state split when he wanted to create three states in the state of California back in 2014, 2015. But if you look up Article 18 of the California Constitution, Section 3, it specifically states that sentence alone. Now, that's one thing. Do you think we really have until November of 2022 to put forth a ballot measure to create a constitutional amendment through initiative? Do we have that much time, number one? And I agree with the last caller. When you start throwing money out there, where's that money really going to go? Who controls that money? Is that money is still controlled by the legislative body? So I'm trying to figure out, I mean, this all sounds good, except that I'm trying to figure out how, A, we have the time, B, is 14 grand going to be enough, and C, how many people will have to vote on this initiative to amend the California Constitution? Do you have a number? And it's far more than 1.7 million. Do you have a number for that?
Yeah, so a number of questions in there and good points. So this isn't to say that there isn't a process to amend the Constitution that goes outside of a ballot measure. The folks who have put this together at the state level have chosen the path of pursuing a ballot measure, and they started working on this 2.5 years ago, long before, you know, anything that we've been talking about related to COVID was in the picture. And so the timing, sure, yeah, it would be ideal if this had happened, you know, 2 years ago or, you know, this November. But the path that they have pursued and been on is one of choosing a ballot measure. And so that's the one that, you know, they'll continue to pursue because we're already in that process and we're technically in the legal period of collecting signatures right now. There's certainly, you know, I think we can all be concerned about, will this increase regulations? They've done the due diligence as much as possible from a legal standpoint, looking at what other states have done, Florida, for example, to ensure that there's as much independence and protection from that as possible. And, you know, in terms of we need just over 1 million verified signatures to get it on the ballot. And then when it's voted on, you need over 50%. So it depends on how many people actually
vote. Right. Okay. So, yeah. But again, that's exactly my point. You still still have to go to Article 18, Section 3, because you mentioned the word amendment. Ballot measure and amendment in initiative are two separate items. The ballot measure can only bring forth the fact that we could, because we, in Article 18, Section 3, we do have the right in the state of California to write and change and amend the Constitution. So it's two processes. So I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be
argumentative,
a downer on this. I'm just saying that these are actually two separate things before what you want to accomplish gets accomplished. And there's no way it gets accomplished in November of 2022. I would say maybe 2024. And do we have that much time? Or do we just not comply?
Well, and I don't think that they're mutually exclusive.
Right.
I think that we do both. And I think I might have misspoken with amendment, because what this works is, you know, in the Constitution of California, the public dollars are not allowed to go to religious schools. And where there's a workaround written into this is that the dollars would not be distributed directly to the schools. They're distributed into these educational savings accounts, which then are. So the belief from the folks who wrote this and, you know, have gotten legal counsel on this is that it wouldn't require an amendment to the Constitution on that specific point. So I'm sure there'll be some implementation period, but if this were to pass next November, you know, I'm hopeful that we would see it within the next, you know, school year.
There's no getting around it. It cannot just be a ballot measure. It has to be an amendment to make a change like you're talking about. And it has to be an amendment also. Now, $14,000, and I'll leave it at this, but you get back to your program. But at $14,000 with inflation the way it is, that may not be much money in 2024. So I'm just saying that, I think it's great what you're doing. Don't get me wrong here. But I think we have to stand up like Shasta County did, and have 46% of the people not send their kids to school. And we have to stand up that way and put pressure on that way. And that'll get us there a lot quicker, because everything you're talking about is going to cost a lot of money to the taxpayers. It's going to cost a lot of money for the ballot. It's going to cost a lot of money for the initiative. This is something that really sounds good. And I'm not sure who the attorneys were, but being through some of this before in court cases, it really and truly is going to have to be an amendment. I'll just leave it there.
Thank you, Terry. Yeah, the thing that I would say on this, though, is, you know what? It costs a lot of money right now to have our kids have improper education. When you look at the education system in California, we're at 49 out of the 50 states.
Who's 50?
I don't know that one off the top of my
New
head.
New York, probably, or something.
When you go through and you look at how poorly our children are being educated within this state, and how they're caring more about educating them on things that have no use whatsoever on the children's education, and rather on things that are actually divisive, we need to take our country back. And part of taking our country back is taking our children back and giving them a proper education that grounds them in the Constitution and grounds them in things that will help better them for their lives, rather than telling them that they're fundamentally racist from the get-go, as we see in some of these areas.
The pushback is really coming, and you know, I'm just saying, you know, from the roots perspective, I mean, you know, the kids at that last event singing My Country 'Tis of Thee, I mean, choked me up, because it's like I haven't heard that for, you know, since I was a kid in school. And then, you know, Lily's sitting in the back seat last night singing about the Constitution. So all I'm saying is there's hope. Because they're, you know, kids, you know, will become, you know, what you teach them, basically. You know, it's garbage in, garbage out. And they've been getting a lot of garbage in the mainstream schools. Well, we can reverse all of that by giving them a good education, a good founding of real truth and principles. You know, this country wasn't founded on racism. That's all crap. I mean, you know, if you think about it, did they have slaves and all that stuff? Everybody had slaves in the whole world. And this is the first country that actually got rid of slavery.
Yes.
And I guess that just gets overlooked. I mean, so we've got to get back to some basic reading, writing, and arithmetic and get out of this social engineering Marxist crap that's trying to bend our kids into politically correct citizens that are easily manipulated by the government. And that's what I think everybody's starting to see, and that's why we're going in the right direction.
Well, both Dave and I have a comment, but I was going to say, going back to the money and stuff, it's not like that's not our money to start with. I'm sorry, right. This is coming from our taxes and stuff. So is it really government money? No, it's our own money that needs to be allocated. I don't know if this is the best solution. I don't know, but we have to get control of that money back, not the government telling us how to spend that money that they're collecting.
Right.
Well, and that is exactly my point. You have Vladimir Lenin that said, give me 4 years to teach the children, and I will seed what I have sown will never be uprooted. And this is what we're seeing right now, is we have a culture of children that are raised to think that they can't succeed in America. They're raised from the get-go to believe that a capitalist society is terrible, and they're using these Marxist words from the get-go instead of, like, free markets or otherwise, and told that they can succeed. And furthermore, to that point, I am homeschooling my children, and $14,000 is a lot. But to your point, as far as inflation, I mean, right now, poll, inflation forcing 29% of Americans to miss meals, eat less due to high prices. We have another one that says that we're going to see an increase over the next 60 days from a guy that's a billionaire supermarket owner saying that costs are going to end up going up at least 10%. It's a true thing, but by the same token, we have to start taking the money back and putting it in the hands of the people who control it.
Right. Yeah, and just to say one thing on the cost amount. So $14,000 is tied to tax revenue. So if our state's tax revenue goes up, then that number goes up as well. And secondly, they did an analysis of what is the cost of private schools in California, and the average cost for K through 8 is between $10,000 and $11,000, so under the $14,000. When you go to high school, it's above that, but if you think that you get the extra, you can still accrue the extra money from the K through 8 years so that it could then cover that. So 60% of all private schools in California are under the $14,000 amount. So most of the schools that parents would be choosing would be fully paid for by the $14,000.
And we send our kids to Reading Christian, and the high school isn't even $600 a month. So that's well under $10,000 a year. And for all three kids, it's only $1,300. So.
And I'll tell you what I think too. I don't think school is necessarily the entire answer either, because I dropped out of school when I was 14 years old. And I would wager to say against anybody in this room that I can match them from intelligence and learning standpoint in a lot of different ways, because I don't think learning is the problem. It's the government teaching everybody the problem. So I learned early on how to educate myself, you know, and now there's even more things available to do that. YouTube, you know, might be slanted, but I've taken courses from some of the best people in the industry in my field. And so I think learning is where the emphasis should be put on the kids as they're growing up. And learning is something that never stops or should never stop till the day you die. And there are so many sources available to a person to continue their education that's not related to schools. And so I just want to kind of throw that out there, that school isn't the end all of end all. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even send my kids to college at this point. I mean, if I want to go to Marxist U or indoctrinate you, then that's where I would send them right now until that gets straightened out. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I would tell them what you need to do is educate yourself in the field that you want to go into. And, you know, my grandson is computer whiz. I mean, he surprises me sometimes how smart he is on a computer. And they've grown up with that. They've also grown up with the fact that the older they get, the more they're able to discriminate on the computer in cyberspace between truth and lies. They start to figure out pretty quickly, you know, who's full of crap and who's not. And so I think that as that starts to develop into adulthood and they understand that they're being taught that not everything on there's the truth, you have to discriminate and figure out what is the truth and go in that direction and towards your field. I think that's part of the education that needs to be taught, whether they go to school or not.
Well, I did want to bring up one major reason why we need this school choice following the money following the kid is, you know, I work in an underserved population, and there's a lot of parents that agree with us on all these issues. They don't want their kids to be put in these failing schools, and they feel trapped. Right. And this initiative just, to me, is something I can really get behind, because I know that those kids and those parents, those families that are dealing with these issues and don't have a way out, that this would give them this way out and, mm-hmm. and give them an opportunity to get a good education. And also, one thing that he brought up was, you know, that idea of competition, and being able to know that your school is a good school.
Right.
And you can choose it on your own for your child.
I think that's the bottom line, is choice. And we'll vet this legislation or whatever it's going to turn into over time. You know, I think this is a good start. And, you know, things modify as they go along for people that call in, for example, and see holes in it. And then, you try to shore that up. But, if you look through history, some of the greatest minds in history, I mean, look at Abraham Lincoln. He never went to school, but he valued learning. He learned by reading a book by the fire, you know. And I think that's what needs to be emphasized entirely across the board, whether this legislation is modified or not. I agree, you know, some parents don't have that option in this day and age, making a living and so forth. So we got to come up with all these alternatives that are going to make something work.
And am I right to say that, you know, it doesn't take a person's right away from, you know, paying for their own child's education and saying no to the government money or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. So the parents have to opt into an educational savings account. So you could theoretically still go to a private school and pay your way. And some private schools may also choose not to participate. So they might say, we're not going to participate at all. So, yeah, there's complete availability of choice from the parent side and the school side.
And I think that's really what needs to happen, period, is that choice, like we're saying, is that, you know, not all kids need to go to college. Not all kids, you know, some people are self-starters. Abraham Lincoln didn't need to go to college for whatever reason, because he valued learning from time, you know, he was a little kid. And, you know, my perspective is that, you know, I paid for a lot of my education. It wasn't through mainstream schools, but I would go and pay people to teach me in different areas. And so I think the more choices we have is really the key here.
Well, and so one of the things that I would say on this, just growing up in this age right now of technology and otherwise, and seeing my wife's experience from public school and my experience in homeschool. So the problem that I have with our schooling and our institutions right now is we are basing it based upon an industrial age. We are teaching our children to sit down, shut up, do the coursework that we tell you, and don't look ahead.
You think
they're
still doing this that way?
It seems to be, yeah. And we're not actually bringing in any of these things that are actually going to be a part of what their future is. I mean, you see so much of technology, so much of app development, so much of these things in the jobs to where things are going to be going. It's going to be automation. It's going to be these things that are going to be replacing the industrial age worker. And for that note, you need to be able to have a group of people that are going to need to know how to work on machinery. They're going to be able to know how to actually code these things to be able to do these things, but we see our education system just slipping by everything.
My 8-year-old is talking about doing a documentary on coding uh-huh. for computers.
Well, would you say that that's accurate as far as the classrooms go?
Well, I think there's a big shift.
I'm sorry, my 11-year-old.
There's a big shift actually to more of a growth-based mindset where the student is more met where they're at, and we differentiate their instruction a lot more than, say, they did, like, when I was going through school. It was more of, you know, whole group instruction. People were, you know, given the lesson of the day, that kind of thing. We don't do that as much anymore. And even our public schools are not testing in that way. You know, like, our test, like, NWEA starts at kindergarten through, like, second grade. And you're tested on as much of the material through those grade levels to see where you're at, and they give you, like, kind of a growth score. So there's improvements in those areas is all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, this is one of these things that I've been seeing just over my life and over my wife's life, and comparing our childhood, and comparing these systems. And for her instance, she was in an impoverished neighborhood. And one of the reasons why this project is such a thing that's close to my heart is because a lot of these kids who are in these impoverished neighborhoods, they don't have any school choice. And this really is school choice. This is the most fundamental way to get it. And what we're seeing right now is we have education systems. Some of the people that say, oh, we don't want these programs, it's because they have a great world-renowned football team that those students are probably going to be able to go to other schools and they won't have that football team. So we're going to say that all of these other kids are going to suffer so that the football team can remain world-class. It's ridiculous.
I think part of the issue is what we're seeing now is the parents. I mean, we are an experiment in self-governance. That's what the founders set up. And we're still right in the middle of this experiment. And part of the experiment is you have to participate. And you at whatever school district you're in, the parents have to start coming in and participating in the programs and showing up to the school board meetings and showing up to the board of supervisors meetings and implementing on those. If the board members don't want to follow what the parents are looking at, then they need to get rid of them and put other people in there who are going to abide by the rule of law, but also listen to the parents and so that they understand what the parents want out of the school system.
But at the same time, aren't we talking about the same thing, whether it's the jab or whatever? It's our choice. It's
yes.
The parents' choice to have that option. They're trying to make it so we have no option.
Right.
So we need to work to get those options back, in my opinion. That's where a lot of it lies, whether you want to put them in private school or wherever. That should be your choice. And have that available to you no matter where you live.
I'll tell you one thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say your point earlier of parents getting involved is key. And what's really exciting is that if you look at the research of where these programs have been implemented, parental involvement actually goes up. And it makes sense because if you have a choice, then you take ownership for that choice.
Yep.
And you feel like you have some say in the matter of like, oh, is the school doing what I want? Because I actually am empowered to make a decision on it. Versus now where you might feel like, oh, well, I just send my kids to school and that's the only option I have.
We've seen video after video in the last few weeks or months about parents going before the boards and the boards ignoring them. I mean, you got the FBI talking about investigating them for terrorism, because they're starting to show up and say, wait a minute, this is the, we are the parents. We have the choice. And that's what it's going to take to turn this thing around, like you say, is this involvement. And I'll tell you what I've learned over the last decade or two is that the rich people that have things don't send their kids to public schools. I mean, they send their kids to private schools. They're tutored individually. They're taught about, balance sheets and financial stuff. And, you go to the school now and you ask the teacher what a balance sheet, they wouldn't even know what it was, I don't think. And that's because we've got no financial education, and there's some things we don't even know how to balance a checkbook. Those are the kind of things that need to be implemented into our school system to be successful. You come out, you don't even know how to balance a checkbook or you don't understand interest on debt and credit cards and things like that. And so
people don't even understand what an asset is. You look at what people think. They think their car is an asset.
So my point is that the rich people teach their kids very young about those are the kind of things that you need to be successful. Getting a good education, but not getting indoctrinated and understanding some of the things that are realities in life in order for you to be successful. We're using the money as an example on a balance sheet and a profit and loss. And most of them own businesses and don't go to work at a job. And so you have to understand that maybe there's some other things that we're not being taught. You know, that we didn't have a jobs and wages like this until 1940-something, where they were actually being taxed. The government implemented that. It used to be that the business of America was business. Mm-hmm. We need to go back to that, self-reliant, independent business people, creating and products and services for the good of everybody. And that needs to be taught, not just what do you get when you go to school? Job. So we need to start thinking about it as a whole. Rich people teach their kids that they need to start businesses. And I think everybody should be in businesses, in my opinion. I haven't had a job since I was 18 years old.
So we only have a few minutes left. Yeah. So you guys are still doing the walkouts, correct? And tomorrow you'll have another one. And so you want to get that information out there?
Yeah. So straight from when we started this, we realized that, one day was not going to be enough. You can't just throw a fit and then go back to your daily lives and, think that this going to make the change you want. So we're going to continue the walkouts. Right now we have one scheduled for tomorrow, and we're going to be meeting down at Sundial Bridge at the Riverfront Amphitheater at 10:30 a.m.
What day is that?
Tomorrow morning. Yep.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to have another rally at the park, the food truck park, in the evening. And we're also going to be doing one at the, I think it's in November, and it's going to be at the Capitol.
Nice. So keep it. Go ahead.
I was going to say tomorrow is more of a working get together. We're going to get together at 10:30 down there at the park, but we need everybody to come prepared to learn what they can do and get activated to go in front of their school boards.
What's the number that they can, the text number for the events that are coming up? I know that they can sign up to get Texas and you, texts. I'm not sure that was right. Text. Thank you.
So yeah, we're schoolwalkout.org, and that is our website, and you can find out more information on there. And as far as the phone number goes, I wasn't prepared to answer that.
Well. We're at the end of the show too, and that's it. So go out there and support these people. You know, thanks for everybody coming on the show.
Great.
I think it was great. I think we had a good round of conversation here about it. And
I just say, if you want to find out more about the School Choice Initiative, go to californiaschoolchoice.org.
Absolutely.
Okay. They also wanted to know how to get a hold of you directly.
You can also.
Can you put that out there or no?
Post it on my Facebook or wherever, and then we'll get it out there. Yeah.
Yeah, feel free to call me.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.